This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Moodyus Dental. For over 30 years, they've been using the latest dental technology to give their patients the smile they've always wanted. Start the year right, like I did, by calling 305-821-0231 or visit moodyusdental.com.
We are spending the money to be here. We are proud of our great sponsors for helping us making it happen, so we appreciate them. And here is Chris Greer's press conference.
I wanted to ask you about evaluating the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've been asked this version or a similar version, but I wrote down, how do you personally weigh arm strength, mobility, things like that, versus intangibles like presence and leadership skills?
I think when you're talking about the quarterback position, it's a lot of the intangibles are what separates a lot of guys, because you hear stories now, even when they talk about, you know, like I said, Tom Brady coming out didn't have great arm strength, or, you know, Drew Brees, but those guys are some of the all-time best to ever play the game. So you look at everything, everyone's skill set at the end of the day. Do they win games? Are they leaders? You know, the football smart, the intangibles, the character and stuff plays a big part in that position, but also at any position. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that, you know, get overlooked skill. And, you know, Zach Thomas is a perfect, you know, open Zach, and, you know, Zach is too small, too slow and stuff, but yet, you know, he's one of the best linebackers to play in the history for the Dolphins, and, you know, and be considered for the Hall of Fame, which is great for him.
This is the first time we've been able to ask you officially about Tua since he's declared. To best of your knowledge, where is he at physically, and what does he need to show you guys to be considered in the first round?
Yeah, like I said, we're still so early in this process. Like, we haven't met him, haven't sat down with him.
You're listening to Chris Greer's press conference on the Big O Show.
We haven't seen him, so, and we know as much as you do. You know, right now we see the media reports and things of that nature, but at the end of the day, we got to get to know the guys, get in front of them, just like any player. So, you know, we're very, very early in the stage with the fact that, you know, we haven't even met the guy yet.
You got to see him in person at least once. We know you're at the LSU game.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on him from purely a football standpoint? Not taking account the health, but the way he throws the football and runs an offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way people have talked. He's been a winner. You know, I think the fact that he, you know, won the Elite 11, then goes to Alabama, has the, you know, kind of a storybook coming off the bench, you know, winning the national championship. And so everyone always talks about his accuracy, et cetera. And they talk about, the person as well, the intangibles that we talked about. So, yeah, looking forward to get to meet him, just like a lot of players. There's a lot of good players in this draft and even some other quarterbacks he's competing with for. So it'll be looking forward to the next couple months.
How important is the ability to get to evaluate these guys at the Senior Bowl, to see the Herberts, the Loves, and to get to meet them? And what are you looking for during this week from them?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, it's always that first step. You know, this is the first meeting. You can actually sit down and talk to them and kind of begin to figure out who they are and what makes them tick. You know, in terms of practice, it's the competition. I love the fact, you know, that, you know, Herbert and Love and those guys have come down here to compete, you know, just like in the past when, you know, Baker and Josh Allen, those guys all came down. So that's the thing, you get to see them in a competitive situation. And they're all on equal footing. They're all learning a new playbook, everything. So that's the thing you like about the Senior Bowl, and appreciate those guys coming down here to compete.
When you're doing a deep dive on a particular player, and maybe a top 10 type player, a quarterback, like a really important player that you want to turn over every stone, I'm just curious, how many people that know that player might you and your colleagues touch before the draft?
I couldn't give you a number, but it goes back well into their past as well. You know, not just the coaches and their college coaches, high school coaches, and people that know the player through family members. I mean, you'll get people reaching out to you too, that especially the high-profile players. You know, and so it's a very interesting case study, and you know, it'll be. Someday, I'm sure someone will write a book on it and talk about, you know, their background and how they found some player and the work they did. But no, we'll have many, many people that will have had contact with, you know, those players over the years.
Where do things stand with Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, no, I mean, fully expect Ryan to be back. and play, and he did a great job. You know, the things he did with the young players too in the locker room, his leadership, and just his enthusiasm. Yeah, I mean, you guys saw him, how he is and carries himself. So he did a great job for us.
I want to ask you about the coaching staff and the changes to the coaching staff. Obviously, you guys build a team that caters to the talent that Brian Flores and his coaching staff wants to coach.
Right.
How difficult would that be when you have a completely new staff? Well, not completely new, but new coordinators.
You know, it's a lot of communication, again, and that's always the important part. And I think, you know, Brian and the staffs and even previous have done a good job of, you know, when they all get here, we'll get together, we'll get in the room, we'll talk about the traits and characteristics in the position, and we'll go through it. Just to make sure you're on the same page of what everyone's looking for, and then that communication piece will be important. And then, again, we have a couple months here too, which is good. So sit and, you know, we'll go here and we'll talk about the players here, the Senior Bowl and the other All-Star games. And then we'll work through, once you get to the Combine, we'll do that again. So we'll spend a lot of time talking, and it's the communication, like, does this player fit what you like? Is this the profile, the type of player? So you're right, the communication part is just going to be huge.
So you have a profile for every position for what Brian wants. And
yes.
How different is that based on, you've been here 20 years. Mm-hmm. I've covered six coaches, by the way. How different is that when you have to piece it together for based on what you know and what everybody wants?
Yeah. It can be a little challenging at times, but it's also, again, it's you just have to learn to be able to adjust on the fly. And so when changes come, and if you switch from whether it's a, you know, 3-4 to 4-3, or, you know, you want a zone scheme to a gap scheme, the good thing is we have a lot of veteran scouts and that have been around and are a good personnel evaluator. So it's just a matter of getting everyone on the same page as quick as possible. So. With all the new coaches in, we'll get a meeting together as soon as we can with all of us in the room that early February, and we'll start preparing for the combine and going through the types of players that they're looking for.
How much do you and your staff have to kind of communicate with other staffs around the league to kind of identify and figure out what other teams want to do to try to get possibly ahead of you in the top five? Is that something important that you guys kind of have to kind of be aware of?
Yeah, I think every team's always, you know, monitoring what's going on around the league. I think it works both ways, because at some point there's a lot of misinformation going out, you know, and teams are always trying to probe what you're looking for. So there's a balance to it. But at the end of the day, I don't think anyone's tipping their cards right now until, you know, probably right up until draft day, what's going on. But yeah, teams are always talking. You know, agents talk to people and stuff too, which information again, but you don't know who's telling the truth all the time.
Yeah. Is it impossible to kind of forecast, like, how much it would take to draft trade up? How much
it
would take to
trade? Because every trade has been different. I mean, look over the years of the value of what people do. Yeah. I mean, you can always say you have an idea and place your value on it, and then that other team may have a completely different view of how to, and we've had that with other trades we've done in the past.
Do you feel like you have enough ammunition to move up if you needed to?
Yeah, I think we have more than enough.
How would you evaluate the Josh Rosen trade and what he's done for you guys this past year? Is he part of your future plans?
Yeah, Josh is here, and I think the trade, I think for us, it was us, we were always trying to upgrade that position. And so he was a young player that had some talent. And I think for us, the value, knowing that we were going to have picks and a lot of picks going forward in the future and money available, it made sense for us to try, you know, and make that trade. So we're happy we made it. Josh has made huge strides, like Brian's talked about. It's been fun watching him grow towards the year. And, you know, no one got to see it and everyone wanted to see him play, but he did a tremendous job growing. And people always forget, like I said before, he's had like four straight different offensive coordinators and schemes, and that's hard for a young kid to keep with no stability. That's hard. So we were proud of him.
One more. Chris, Daniel Kilgore seems an interesting case. He's a guy who loves Flo. Flo seems to love him, team captain, but he's getting up there in age. I believe he's 31. Mm-hmm. He was out all year. What are your thoughts on him and how he fits in next season?
Oh, Daniel is tremendous locker room presence, leadership, like you said. The veteran presence is what that our team needed last year. And I think he did a tremendous job, along with Fitz, as, you know, kind of being steady in the ship early on when things were rocky. Yeah, like I said, we have tremendous respect for him. I love the guy. He's energy in the building. And so, yeah, for us, it's we expect him to be here, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, we love him, and he was great for our team.
Obviously, you have a very young team. You got a lot of draft picks. Yeah. That's going to make the team even younger.
Yeah.
How do you get leadership, or how do you add leadership? I know Fitz contributes to that, but do you feel like you need more?
I think that's a very important piece, and you know, Brian and ourselves and the scouts and coaches have talked about that, and it's even with the young guys we bring in. We got to make sure that a lot of those guys are leaders and understand, you know, have been not necessarily captains at their schools, because we all know that sometimes captains are appointed, but at the end of the day, finding leadership, some leadership through all avenues, whether it's guys in the streets, free agency, the draft, just bringing in the right types of guys to help. Because you're right, it's going to be a young team. And the good thing is Brian and the coaching staff are tremendous teachers. And I know when you're talking about a lot of the coaches and the guys we've had there, and that's the big thing. They're teachers and motivators. You guys saw how the team played. And but it is very important to add guys that have good leadership traits.
How badly do you sense that team owner Stephen Ross wants to see an elite franchise quarterback added?
Oh, I think that's from all of us, you know, would like to find the right guy to be the quarterback. Just, I mean, you see how important it is around the league. So I wouldn't just say it's Steve, it says Brian, myself, everyone, coaching staff, scouts. We think it's important that we find the right guy to be the leader and the quarterback here for a long time.
What do you think about Tua's agent honoring Steve with a philanthropy award before the Super Bowl?
That's the first time I've heard it. We've been in, like, all last week, we're in meetings all day, and then we went right down here. So good for him. Steve deserves it, and I'm happy, but now it's the first time I've heard it.
With the trend seems to be the league is going towards more athletic quarterbacks, more guys who can move, more guys who can move the pocket. Is that just because that's what college is delivering, or is it just because that's where the game is going? Or do you disagree with that that's the trend?
No, I think it's probably a combination of both those, because it's nowadays everything's high school and youth is 7-on-7, you know, so it's get the ball out quick, it's RPOs and stuff, so, you know, the college game's producing a lot of it, but the big thing is those guys are having success doing it, you know. If guys were doing it and they weren't successful, you know, people wouldn't be copying it. And I just think, the game's evolving into that. And I think quarterbacks that can run just add another dimension that's hard for defenses to account for. So it's kind of an exciting trend to see that, you know, the game moving that way and giving more guys that in the past you probably, you know, not ignored, but probably, you know, like, oh, it'll be okay. And so, it's an exciting thing for football and football fans.
Are you a fan of a quarterback running 150, 200 times a year?
I would say that I'm not sure how to answer that, because I don't want to, you know, because it's been effective for some, really effective for some players, but you always, like, it's such a violent game, you always worry about injuries, especially if it's your franchise guy. But, hey, I mean, there's some dynamic players that skill set is, for that team and those teams that use it, it's what springboarded into winning as well. So you just got to understand what it is.
Since Gase was fired, and you were appointed as GM. The Dolphins, Tua has been linked to the Dolphins since that point. Do you think that's kind of unfair over the past 2 years that it's been the case like that? And do you even feel pressure to maybe, you know, evaluate him and draft him, you know, come April?
Oh, we'll evaluate him just like every player in it. So I don't, you know, like I said, when people were talking about all the stuff in the past, we said, right, we were never tanking. I mean, we were trying to win and build, and so, you know, to say one player was attached to us, you know, you can't control what fans, you know, fans and people in the media say. So, no, there's no pressure for us. I mean, the pressure for us is to find the right guy to be the quarterback for the Dolphins, and whether it's him or someone else, but that's the pressure of finding the right guy to lead the organization.
Some of the players that you've drafted and been a part of the process of drafting in recent years have found success elsewhere, such as Minka, Laramie, Kenyon, and Ryan. I have not had a chance to ask you this. What is it like for you? How do you process that as positive, negative? I'm just not sure how you process it.
No, it's, you know, at the end of the day, we did what was best for the Miami Dolphins. And so we always wish those guys success when they go on, but I've been so focused on, you know, trying to get here to build a winner here for us that, you know, happy for them. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't spend a lot of time worrying because there's just a lot of work to be done here.
Chris, I'm doing a story on Super Bowl memories, non-game related Super Bowl memories. What comes to mind with any of yours, whether it was a breakfast with the family or meeting with a different player, anything along those lines?
The Super Bowl, well, I said the last Super Bowl that I was in was we lost to Green Bay when I was in New England. I would say probably leading up to the Super Bowl, I think we had beaten the Raiders. No, that was the one before that. Memory-wise, I would say for me it was meeting Jerry Burns before, because my dad played at Iowa. And so you know Jerry Burns and meeting him and the Hilgenbergs, yep. All of them before the game and talking in Iowa. So it's kind of cool to hear him tell stories about my dad playing, yep. And stuff. And then the game Super Bowl memory was the Bears kicked our ass, excuse the language, in the game. And I was sitting there and I had my Patriots jacket on and I got a head down, and then I got hit by a hamburger. Someone threw a hamburger out of Sam and on my shoulder, and I'm like, great. I go, Dad's gonna be mad, we're getting killed, and I just got hit by a hamburger because somebody had in my Patriots jacket. So that's my last Super Bowl memory.
There you go. That is Chris Greer. That's a hell of a memory right there. You get hit by a hamburger. Remember, his dad, Bobby Greer, was part of the Patriots organization at that time. And then obviously, Chris. Remember, his brother was an extremely successful hockey player. So this is a family that's been tied to athletics for a long, long time, playing the game, covering or working the game in so many different angles when you talk about the Greer family. And so let's go over some of his comments. There wasn't any earth-shattering stuff, which is what never really – I mean, it just doesn't happen in these kind of settings. They're not going to tell you much. But I can, you know, decipher some things that were talked about in processing the QBs, and they were asking about Tua and all that. And you got to handle him like you handle everybody else in the same process. So there was nothing expected there. Fitz, he talked about how he expected to have Fitz back. And this also tells you that they're expecting more developmental quarterbacks coming in. Because that's why you would have Fitzpatrick here, because he's going to be the bridge till you find who is the young guy that is going to take over, whether it's the guy you draft, whether it's the guy that's already here in Josh Rosen, okay? And in one of the things when he was asked about Josh, he talked Josh up and talked about how Josh has made huge strides behind the scenes where we didn't get to see it. Now, that's also general manager talk. Let me give you also the breakdown on this. That's also him selling Josh Rosen to whoever wants to listen. So just in case somebody might be interested down the line or you're trying to pawn him off to somebody else, you're already making statements months ago or a couple weeks back and now again on the progress he's made behind the scenes. Now, one of the things that he said that was brutal for Josh was four offensive coordinators, add five, because you just added Chan Gailey. So it's another offense that he's got to learn. So, I mean, he should be an expert by now on all offenses because he's had to learn every offense, but it is what it is. So having Fitz back is a good thing on many different levels, but it's also a very clear message that the developmental process will continue in 2020, which I don't think is a surprise, once again, to anybody out there. And I don't think it's a surprise to anybody out there that you're going to say Fitz is going to come back. But here, at least you kind of get some closure on all of this, because there were some questions. Are they going to bring Fitz back? Because they did sign him to a two-year contract. So very smart on their part, because remember, if you only sign him to a one-year deal, he plays his ass off, he wins you the five games, he could literally come back to you and ask you for more money because you need him more than he needs you. Because you've got to get the right guy for developmental purposes. You got to get the right guy for bridge purposes. Not a guy that's about me, 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 and my stats, and I'm worried about me. He's not about that. So signing him to the two-year contract is the same thing as getting Devontae Parker to that two-year contract, which then he performed. You have him locked in to a second year, but the agent and the player don't want to take a chance on that second year, so they give you a cap-friendly four-year deal. I'm just kind of reading the tea leaves on all of this because what I want you to see also is the modus operandi that is going on with the Dolphins, and it's very smart in how they're handling things because they're giving multi-year contracts to people that they can have leverage against. They're not giving multi-year contracts to people that they are desperate to have because then they've got to overpay. Okay, so just kind of walking you through all of that there. Trade rumors, and I think it was Saffid Dean that asked this one, and talking about, you know, how Tua's been linked to the team for the last 2 years now. And that's not the Dolphins. That's us. Media, fans, we're the ones doing that stuff. It's not the Dolphins behind the scenes telling everybody, hey, we love Tua. We can't wait to draft Tua. Oh, we want him to marry all of our daughters. You know, no, no, none of that is going on. Okay, so that's us because we're putting one and one together. Dolphins have no QB. They haven't had one since some guy named Dan Marino. Let's link them to Tua. Let's link them to Herbert. Let's link them to Burrow. Let's link them to Jordan Love. Let's link them to everybody. Okay? So this is, and I'm glad he brought up something very important Greer brought up in the answer, that while you have all of these reports, don't forget that a lot of bad ones come out too. And people start planning stuff, okay? I can't say it now, but I can look at my guy here and say, yesterday in the elevator, somebody said something about the Dolphins, and that was planted. But those guys in the media that were in the elevator with us are believing that. But I think that's a plant. But I didn't say anything at that moment because I just let people...
There's a little bit of poker involved here, man. Because a
lot of poker.
You don't want to show your hand.
A lot of poker.
And
not as much as Jim Edmonds and Antonio Brown want, but there's a lot of poker.
Right.
Both guys wanted threesomes. Poker, get it? I'm sorry. You had to listen to the earlier podcast to kind of pick that up. But that's kind of the trick now. You got.
I would strongly suggest you guys catching those segments.
Yeah, you gotta listen to all that so you can catch all these little things that we do every once in a while. Okay, so yes, I agree. A lot of poker.
And considering that we hold the most cards.
Yes.
We should be playing games with these people.
Yep. Now, the other thing that I liked, a question that they brought up, and something that I think is very important, but at the same time, I think it's also starting to exist already on the team. And so I think it was, I forgot which reporter was that asked about it, but asked about leadership and how important that is. That, you know, he mentioned that, of course, you have it with Fitz, but how important is that to acquire that because you're going to have 14 picks and your locker room's about to get even younger than it was last year, right? Because you're going to add 14 picks. And don't forget, you add a couple more undrafted free agents too, because they're going to find some out there because they did that last year.
Just like Preston Williams.
Right, and they'll continue to do that this year. But, and one of the things he, you know, Chris Greer talked about in that press conference is that they're going to go over those conversations about leadership. Now, here's what I would tell you, which is very important that you have those conversations, that you draft players that have some leadership qualities to them. I think Christian Wilkins is one of those kind of guys that has leadership qualities to him, and I think he can develop into one of those kind of leaders for you on this football team. Those are kind of the guys. Davin Godchow, both of the defensive tackles, I think, can bring a lot of leadership. I think Jerome Baker has leadership qualities to him. It just, he's just young. He's a baby still, and he's still figuring it out. But I think those are guys that can bring some of those leadership qualities to the table. I would mention Xavier Howard, but with some of the issues he's having right now, I would say we got to pump the brakes a little bit here. He needs to start showing better leadership and better examples off the field too at the same time. But that's a couple guys that when I look at it, I say they've got some leadership qualities to them. Maybe they can add something on the field. And I'm looking right now at the roster right now, and I think you don't have a lot of what they're talking about, but I think you can develop it from within. But at the same time, in these draft picks, you're going to have to find a couple guys. And it's like Chris Greer said, it can't be just because they had a captain on them, because sometimes you're awarded that because of tenure and you're a senior and all that, but it's, you know, out of respect because of what you've given, but not because you necessarily lead. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between the two. The people that lead are willing to sacrifice, because that's part of what leadership is. You are sacrificing your time. You are sacrificing your knowledge. You are sacrificing an effort, you know, because you've got to make an effort to overlook someone and to follow up on what they're doing right or wrong, and assuming responsibilities and things like that. That's what leadership is all about. So it's got to be a person that is selfless to a certain extent. I think you have some of that in the Dolphins. I think you're developing that with the Dolphins. But there's no doubt you got to add more. But this is part of having a young roster. Young rosters are going to have these kind of issues. And then you've got to somehow work through these kind of issues and find those kind of guys. And I think they will. But again, it's year one that you just completed of this rebuilding process. It's going to take a little while, you know? So those are some of my thoughts from today's press conference. Oh, one more thing. On Ross wanting a franchise quarterback, and Chris Greer followed up with, everybody wants that. And I think that, you know, the silly story that's out there, oh, Ross loves, you know, Joe Burrow. And yeah, Ross loved Lamar Jackson, and that was a lie. Look, in the end, everybody's desperate for a stinking franchise quarterback. It ain't Stephen Ross. It's everybody. You, me, Stephen Ross, Chris Greer, Dan Marino. Dan Marino is tired of people talking about that the last quarterback was Dan Marino. He's here, bro. He's 50 yards away from me sitting in the press box. I've seen him a couple times already and talked to him a couple times in the last couple days. He's here not because of a paycheck. The dude doesn't need the money. He could be golfing. Well, maybe not because it's cold as hell, but he could be doing anything in South Florida. If he's here, it's because he gives a crap, man. That guy's dying to find the next quarterback to take over the Dolphins. More than almost any of us, I bet. If you cornered Dan Marino, he's tired of it too. We're all tired of it. This isn't a Stephen Ross story. This is everybody, bro. Everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Jimmy Johnson wanted to find the guy after Marino, and he couldn't do it. And so did everybody else that's come after Dan. From Dave Wannstedt to Cam Cameron to Tony Sperano and Bill Parcells and all the guys till now, everybody's wanted to find some kind of a quarterback, dude. And they haven't been able to. So it's not a Stephen Ross thing. It's everybody. But again, it comes, now we start with this stupid-ass story. Oh, Ross wants Burrow. Give me a break.
Okay? Yeah, him and 31 other owners.
Right. Well, not 31 because there's you
there's
know,
a few teams that
Kansas
have quarterbacks.
Kansas City ain't worried about it. You know,
okay, Kansas City, yes.
You know, what I'm saying is the few that have
Green
a franchise.
Bay. Green
yeah.
Bay would love to park probably, a guy like that behind Aaron Rodgers.
Probably. Although that would piss Aaron Rodgers off right now at this point. Because
yes.
that guy would then get a lot of hype already. And the second he starts showing any kind of decline, even if it's the offensive line and he looks bad, they'll be calling for the young guy. That's why I say the whole Andy Dalton situation in Cincinnati. Not that I'm here to defend Andy Dalton. I'm just saying, in Cincinnati, if you bring on the young guy and you start Dalton, it's going to be the worst year of Dalton's life having to deal with all of that crap. And eventually he ends on the bench. Because it's what happened to Eli Manning. Eli was showing all the you know breakdowns, and they went and drafted the kid, and right away they were clamoring for the kid and wanted Eli out. And then your disrespect, and that's a guy that won two Super Bowls.
I was just gonna say
two Super Bowls.
We're not talking
and MVPs.
Andy Dalton. Yeah, we're not talking Dalton.
I mean, you know, Pop Gun Dalton is nothing. He's done nothing there. He's done as much as that team can help carry him. Because, again, Dalton's one of those guys. You need the perfect situation. Seen those guys enough. Go Gators says afternoon. Afternoon, Go Gators. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up here on the broadcast. And Nico says he didn't mention Josh Rosen when he was asked about finding a future QB. He talked about Josh Rosen in that press conference and bragged about how he had improved and everything drastically. The whole narrative of, oh, he's had to learn three different offenses is such BS. Either you can find the open receiver, or you can. Either you can avoid the rush, or you can't. I can't argue with any of that. Dougie Fresh, oh, two-a-days, is Coach Shula your boss? Thank you, and I'm so glad that you mentioned the qualities of leadership. Remember, that year we drafted tons of team captains. That doesn't make a leader. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. I remember Parcells drafted all those captains and all that stuff that was supposed to be a big thing, and it didn't do jack. No, you're right. You're right. Leadership is not about that label. Like I told you, it's about sacrifice. Every leader sacrifices. You have to, man. You have to. It's the only way that people around you get better is because you sacrificed your knowledge. You sacrificed your time. You sacrificed your vision, you sacrificed your experience, everything. You shared something to help somebody get better. There's nothing wrong with that. That is great. And it's a quality that all of us should have flat out as just being humans, you know, and having that kind of patience and being able to assist others and helping them get along and get by. I think it's really, really important because it makes all of us better, whether we're talking about a family, a football team, or a society. Doesn't matter.
Down there in South Florida, we're seeing it, man. Jimmy Butler.
Right, yes.
Jimmy Butler.
Yes, very selfless. Great example. Exceptional example. Maybe the best example in South Florida right now for athletes, it might be Jimmy Butler. Yeah. I would have to go with that one. That would be the top guy in my book right now, the way he has embraced his role as the leader of the team, not just the scoring leader or assist leader or rebound leader. No. Leader of the team. Yeah, that's a great example there. So that is the Chris Greer press conference.